on the line, we're speaking to a lady that has been paving the way for many females, rather, in the refereeing space. Just the other day, she was the fourth match official in a game between MC Alga Doyen and ES Tunis. Akona Makalima is on the line and joins me. Very good morning to you, Akona the She-Rep. How are you doing today?
Fine, thanks. How are you doing, Loretta?
We are great. Thank you so much. Tanaka's in studio. And listen, he's been waiting with bated breath for this particular interview. I'm not sure. Maybe like he's low-key crushing?
I'm just a fan. That's all I can say. That's all I can say and remain in good stead. Akona, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Firstly, I must say congratulations on everything that you've been doing. You've been absolutely phenomenal in the refereeing spaces, and we love everything that you achieve, and we've supported you 100%. If I could ask my first question, Akona, it would be with regards to, before we even get into your career and everything that you're doing at the moment, something we saw 2 weeks ago. We discussed it extensively, you and me, Lerato, but I suppose this is our first opportunity to get a referee's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you caught wind of this. It's the Erling Haaland incident after the match where fourth official or something along those lines asked Haaland after a Champions League game for an autograph. Did you see that on social media? It was trending for quite a while.
I saw that on social media.
What were your thoughts about that type of incident, referees or match officials asking players for autographs or jerseys or anything along those lines?
You know what? Personally, I didn't have a problem with that because I didn't know the reason why he asked for the autograph of a player. One, if it was me, I am an official, so I cannot ask autographs from players. I cannot do that. But what if he was asking it? What if he was asking it for his child or something like that? And personally, I also feel like match officials are also like human beings. If he respects the player, maybe he respects the player. Maybe he likes the player or something like that. I don't know. But personally, me, no, I would not ask an autograph from a player.
Personally, Lerato is a referee. One day, she would get the whole strip.
No. I'm in the back asking for the shorts.
They're not
socks.
Celebrities to me. Honestly, players are not celebrities to me. Players are not icons to me. Even though I respect your work and I respect what they put out there, but I cannot just. I cannot have your autograph.
Yeah. Let's start.
If it was another referee, somebody that I look up to, yes, I would do that.
Yeah, let's start the conversation right there, Kona. I mean, I wanna talk about what it takes to be a referee at the highest of levels, where emotions take place. You have your own natural, innate biases to maybe a particular player, a particular team. How do you go about being completely neutral in all moments? Because that's first and foremost what a referee has to be in a match where there may be some emotions for whatever reasons in that game.
Okay, wait, listen. A referee is always and supposed to be neutral at all forms. A referee must not be a little bit, maybe have mixed emotions about a certain player or a certain club or something like that. A referee must always be neutral, you know. Also, emotional intelligence. I would not know that if maybe one day I officiate a match between maybe Messi is in the field of play and therefore I saw a bit that I cannot blow against him or something like that because he's a star. No, in the field of play, I don't have stars. I have players. So, yeah.
Now, let's talk about, Akona, when you heard the news that you'd be going out of the country and partaking in this particular game. How did you react to these great news?
Honestly, Lerato, I felt like, whoa, okay, the time is really now. Because CAF already told us that now we are going to start introducing women in the Champions League game. But I didn't know that it was going to be that fast. And especially the game on its own, it's one of the biggest games in Africa. So when I got the appointment, I was super excited. I was happy, but also I was very nervous because I was thinking about the nature of the game, the standard of these two teams, and I am a woman, so you think about those things and feel like, oh my goodness, how am I gonna handle this? Mm-hmm. How am I gonna handle maybe the coaches and the officials in that that caliber, especially, you know, it's two Arab countries. You think about, are they going to respect me, these guys? But no, man, don't go there. You've been doing all of this. So, yeah, I was very excited and also very nervous.
Rightfully so.
Mistake. I didn't want to.
Yeah. Yes.
How do you deal with the nerves? I mean, you're in a game where, you know, so much of the spotlight is on you as a ref and as a fourth official as well. And in every aspect of officiating the match, we so often refereeing decisions are the outrage of fans after the game. And even now with VAR and all these systems that are put in place, how do you control yourself in that moment?
I would say positive self-talk. I look myself in the mirror. I talk to myself a lot in the mirror. I know it might be very weird. I talk to myself very, like, in the mirror, like, you've been doing this, you have to do it, this, you can do this. You are a referee, you have to be strong, you must not allow anyone to look down on you and all those things. So, I talk to myself, like, positively and, like, assure myself, you know, because sometimes I know that you would be shouted at by the coaches and then you feel like, oh, maybe because I'm a woman. And then I need to talk to myself and say, hey, when you step in the field of play, don't do like that. You are not a woman. You are a referee, regardless of gender. Just go there. Stamp your authority. Go there. You've been doing this. There's nothing different from you and other referees. Go there as a referee. Don't go there as a female referee. And then, yeah.
I wanted to ask about that emotional balance, Akwana, because, you know, like you're saying that you, at that particular moment, it's not about you being male or female, but it's about refereeing, where we are perceived as very hormonal, very emotional at times as well. And which is okay, because it comes with the nature of being a woman. You can't be a man for the day, which is when you do referee. Oh my goodness, I think we've just lost a corner. Well, we're going to try continue with this conversation and hopefully our producer Spo will come through and try and, you know, connect us with a corner again. But league where you are. So I think it's all those different things. Akona is back on the line.
Yeah.
You know.
Sorry.
Hey, yeah. No, I was still asking you about that in terms of how do you get that balance right? You know, like I was saying, that women are perceived as emotional, hormonal, and all of those things, which we are in our right because we are women. But how do you then balance that out? Because now when people see you and maybe see a certain decision that you made, they'll be like, no, but she was too emotional or she was this.
No, you know, honestly, I don't take things very personal. I don't take things to heart that when I step in the field of play, people now, I don't project my feelings into people or allow people to give me a label or because I make a decision, because I'm a female. My decisions, I always believe that my decisions are not influenced by my gender. My decisions are influenced by what I see at that moment or based on the laws of the game. Sometimes I believe that whether you are a male or a female, you're still going to make a decision. You are still going to make a mistake. You are still going to make a correct decision. When I step in there, I don't feel like I am so scared to make this mistake because they will think that it's because she was a woman. The reason why she was not at that angle, it's because she's a woman. I don't think about that. I don't put that in my mind because the minute I feed that with myself in my subconscious mind, I am going to let myself down.
Yeah, let's read a tweet here from Shai Balters, who said, congratulations. He tweeted at you, at @Akona_SheRef, and says, not only footballers look to other footballers for inspiration, so do our officials, and you are their inspiration. That word has been thrown around a lot. Inspiration, you are the trendsetter, the first, you know, the woman who's breaking down barriers, trailblazer. Mm. Do these words get easier to digest, or do they only add a certain level of pressure? And maybe in that same respect, are you comfortable with the tags that people have given you?
Yeah, it comes with a lot of pressure, I must say. I know it's not an easy to be an inspiration, and also now you have to keep up. Now you have to, not disappoint people because they look up on you. But bottom line is that there's a lot that is going on the background, but people don't see how hard you work. How people don't see how the negative that you have to digest. And there's just a lot that comes with it. And for people to say, hey, she is my inspiration, and you look down and say, like, oh, my God, I wish you know how I don't want to be, like, a trophy, or I don't want to be seen as somebody who is doing, I don't know how best can I put it. That's really, like, the best word to use in the English, but and for Nabantu, but in a family that I am the best thing that has ever happened, because I feel like there are other people that are doing the same way, the same thing that I'm doing. So when you put myself in that spot, it means that I must work super hard. It means that I must be perfect. It means that I must be something like, it's good to be an inspiration to other people that are coming up, that want to be referees, that, okay, even if you are not a referee, but just for you to do what you love, for you that just to get up and be intentional about what you want and what you want to achieve. But yeah, I appreciate them. I appreciate everything that they see my hard work, and people are celebrating that. But it comes with a lot of pressure. It comes with a lot of pressure. So when you step in the field, they're like, oh, I'm going to do this. What if I don't do it? So it feels like you are letting people down. So it comes with a lot of pressure.
True, Akon. I mean, but looking at how things just falling into place, who's that one person that you would like to meet in the refereeing space, whether female or male, that one person that you've always looked up to up until this point?
Who is that one person that I look up to? Yeah, I love this woman. I love this lady from France, Stephanie Frappard. Yeah, I'd love to meet that. I would love to meet that woman. And I'm going to meet that woman one day. I'm going to meet that woman. I love what she stands for. I love what she does. I love that she's very strong. I love that she is very dedicated, determined, and she's not apologetic about anything. I like that. I think one day I would love to meet that woman. She really inspires me.
Yeah, Stephanie's a big one. Also, a woman who's achieved so many firsts out in the European spaces. Mm. She became the first woman to referee a major men's European match and a French Ligue 1 match that both happened for her in 2019. And a UEFA Champions League match as well in 2020. So she's definitely gone on to do exceptional things.
I think she is going to Qatar.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think she is
going to Qatar.
Yeah, she's that good at the moment. And I'm curious, on that note, Akona, firstly, what distinguishes one referee from another? And secondly, to that question as well, when you are watching football, which I believe you spend a lot of time watching football, are you now removed from the actual game, the 11v11? Are you solely watching referee and their decisions, their errors, if any? Is that what you're looking out for when you, like, how has your being a referee changed your outlook on a football match? And then to the point also about what distinguishes referees.
So for me, when I watch a game, I only watch referees. So I see the game. This is the very first game with the referee. Okay, cool. That was that decision and all of that. How's the movement, management of the referee? You know what? Best referees are not referees that are dishing out cards. Best referees these days are best managers. How can you manage that situation? FIFA and CAS is only emphasizing that. Movement of the referee, placement of the referee in the field of play. How do you deal with the situation? That is the only thing that more refereeing now is about. Can you sell this decision? Does football understand this? It's all about football understanding. It's all about management. It's all about movement in the field of play. It's all about intelligence in the. So now going forward, CAF and FIFA is only about intelligent referees. It's all about best managing referees. So if there is a situation where you can give a card and you look at it, find all the reasons and all the not to give a card. CAF is looking for that. FIFA is looking for that. But if it's a situation where you cannot, let's say it's a zero foul play, there's no way you can say, let me manage the situation. So if it's a red card, it's a red card. But most importantly, it's the management and understanding of football. So when I watch the game, I only watch the referees. Okay, where was he when he was making this call? Okay, he made an incorrect call. Why did he get to that position? Even sometimes when I look at my games, I only look at myself as somebody else. And then when I now look and decide and then like debrief myself. I look at this, I'm like, okay, you were at this angle. Why were you not there? Why did you get to that position late? Why did you get this decision correct? Why did you get this decision incorrect? So that is only what I watch, even when I watch other referees.
Yeah, no, rightfully so. I think when I watch games, I watch the build-up, half-match, and the post-match, depending on which area you work in. Akon, I'm not sure if you'd actually be able to answer this, but I'm hoping you will be. I just want to get your thoughts on VAR and just how you think, as somebody, obviously, we have not introduced it here. We've introduced it in the African continent and with CAF Champions League games, Confederations Cup. I think it was the final, but not on the domestic scene. Do you think, you know, how do you think you will adapt to it, and are you for it?
Lerato, I am super for VAR. VAR is a very good tool if it's used properly. And VAR is future. There's no way we can go away with it. So VAR is future. VAR is very good. But unfortunately, I cannot talk about the decisions that other leagues or other associations or federations are using it, or how are they using it. But to be honest with you, VAR is a very good tool if it is used correctly, but based on what FIFA is doing. It's a very good tool.
Are you looking forward to maybe a situation where you misjudged a call and you can run to that thing and get, you know, maybe different reviews and, you know, five different angles of it?
Absolutely. The aim is to always make the football beautiful. It is always to make the correct decision that is accepted by anyone. So, and also we need to know that VAR will always be referees. And now when you missed something, right, it's when VAR will call you and say, hey, we think that something happened. Can you come and look at it, ABC? And then you go. If you see that, okay, there is an element that I did not see, then you can always change your decision. I think it's beautiful. I think it is very good so that we minimize mistakes. We also minimize decisions that are game-changing decisions, you know. So for me, VAR is future. VAR is very good. It's a very good tool to assist match officials. But if it's a gray area, VAR also doesn't know it.
Akon is making sure
because
that
remember, we'll be helped by the angle of the TV, the angle of the camera, the angle of, if the TV didn't get a correct angle, even VAR cannot know it.
I feel like you're alluding to one game over in England that took place last night with that comment, Akon, but I suppose we'll leave it there. You've covered all your bases. It's a good system, but when used well, and I think that's been the contention for so many fans this season and in seasons gone by, has it been used well? And can there be an amendment to some of the laws in terms of how tight calls are made? On that note, Akon, I want to ask another question, but I just want to ask this follow-up question firstly. The offside rule. Are you of the firm opinion that, as in your feeling as a referee, that even if there is a 0.012% of the elbow that's offside, that's an offside? Or do you believe there needs to be some concessions made in order to keep the game entertaining?
I would only say, what would football want?
Okay, so we'll take that answer. We'll take that
what
answer,
would
corner.
Football won at that particular time?
Yeah.
At 0.0000 something. No, man, football doesn't want that. Football will not appreciate that.
Agreed.
So, keep it simple.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Here's my last question for you, Akona. I want to know, in one game, how much usually do you run? And also, have you ever been tired? Like, we see players get off with hamstrings and, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. We see them wilting in the extra time moments. What does it feel like when you get tired, and how do you manage yourself through that situation?
You know what? Yes, sometimes I get tired and I feel like, oh my God. But I always have a strong team. Yes, every ref gets tired. But you know what? We keep communication going. So sometimes the minute you get tired is the minute you lose your concentration. So you also need your team to help you and say, okay, 5 minutes, Akona, keep pushing. And then immediately you come back. You get tired. I remember there was a time I almost pulled my calf. So I was sprinting, changing direction, and then I felt my calf, and I was like, oh my goodness, okay. I kept stretching myself, and then I got back to the game. So yes, we do get tired. Even when you get tired, you also like motivate yourself, or you get your team to motivate you. You talk to your team and say, guys, if you see that I'm getting tired or I'm not anticipating well quickly remind me. So we keep communicating in the game, if so that even your teammates do not lose concentration. So yeah, every referee, every assistant gets tired in the game at some point.
I just thought you were all superhuman on some stuff that we weren't aware about, some training regimen or something else like that. Have you ever tracked how much you run in any game?
Yeah.
How far is that?
I don't run anything less than 7 kilometers.
Okay. So you
7, 10,
sure.
12.
Sure.
I think the megs I've run is 12.
Sure.
Yeah, no, that does make sense in terms of why you can't have referees doing back-to-back games on, you know, following days, because then you need that rest period to come in.
No, you cannot do this.
Just finally, I wanted to ask you.
You cannot do a game today and tomorrow, hey?
We saw an incident on, I think it was social media, which was very sad, where we saw a referee collapsing. I'm not sure about what the predicament was in terms of, was it a heart attack or what happened? I mean, you know, what happens in those particular situations? Do you, you know, the medical team, what then happens? Will we have a fourth official then continue on as a referee without a fourth official in that official game?
So what happens is that if a match referee of that day cannot continue with the game, the fourth official will take the lead. If ever the fourth official is not so senior, one senior assistant referee would now become a referee, and the match commissioner becomes the fourth official.
Oh, wow. I love how the reinforcements are in place. So, Akona, where are you right now in the world?
I am in Tunisia.
So you're still staying there? Is the game not done? Shouldn't you be on your way back?
But I'm starting my journey today. I'm coming back home. Mm-hmm. I'll be home tomorrow. So yeah, I'll be home tomorrow. I'm starting my journey.
Akona, listen. It's
I think it's because of the COVID and everything. Mm. We have to stay a bit, and then we get tested. You wait for your results, and then you go again. And also the flights, they few. So all of those things, COVID is just messing up with our lives.
You're absolutely correct. It's
but
been a difficult
trust God,
time.
One day it will go.
Absolutely. Maybe in conclusion, Akona, we want to know from you about your ultimate goals. Where do you want to go in your refereeing career? Where would you like to see yourself next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? It sounds like a bit of a relationship question, I know, but just please indulge us.
Oh, my God. Honestly speaking, I see myself at the World Cup in the next 2 years. Inshallah, I hope and I pray to God that I make it to the World Cup list, the final list of the World Cup. And one day I pray to God that I take part in the Men's World Cup. One day, and that day must come. And when I retire, maybe I'll be a referee manager. That is one thing I would love to do.
We will see.
From your lips to, you know, the Vision View Sports Radio ears. Oh my goodness, we've missed Akona, and now we're just about to say
start
goodbye.
Start manifesting. We're about to start praying a prayer.
We're about to take it to the next level. But nevertheless, a big thank you to Akona Makalima, who made the effort to, you know, wake up and join us here on the Sports Rise. A lady that is doing amazing things and really representing the country, more than representing herself and the ladies in this particular space, the refereeing space. She's honestly representing the country so well. So we wish her all the best in her career. We know that she'll come back and, of course, feature in some top games.
Yeah, and some safe travels to her. We hope that she, from Tunis out there, makes it all the way back to South Africa safely. And yeah, wish all the best.